Hey everyone, welcome to the first official episode of the Double Helix podcast, where we talk about TF and the fetishes that relate to it, but let's be fair, mostly TF. Today we have Angaboda.
Hi.
Tyrion.
Hello.
Fuego.
Hey there.
Myself, ABCD, and as a special guest this week we have Tobakitty.
Hey.
And our topic for this time is going to be talking about actualization. So trying to get TF in some way in real life, or at the very least taking it out of the fantasy and trying to discuss it and have it be more of a real thing. We're going to be splitting this into two sub-episodes because it's too big of a topic to just cover in one two-hour block. So it's going to be two 2-hour episodes that we will be going through, each of us talking about sort of specialty topics.
Okay, cool. And so this episode, we're going to talk about mostly why it's important to talk about your sex shit, and specifically for a lot of us, TF, and how you can better communicate that with other people and try and get access to other people in that way, and also form relationships, even if they're just friendly, sexy relationships with other people who are interested in this. How to introduce the topic to a partner, and like a bunch of other things. Eventually, we want to get into dialogue and scene building, even to the point of like writing scripts, if that's something that you feel like is necessary. So we're going to try and cover the whole gamut of, I guess, how TF plays into sexual relationships in this episode.
And it is good because there is a lot of crossover between like other fetish things like pet play and the furry stuff to some degree as well. So that works out well.
Yeah, and honestly, that's something that we're going to talk about later in the episode in terms of if you have a partner who's like not, like TF isn't super their jam, about how we can try and get them access so that you can at least kind of experience what you feel like you need to experience in that way. So, it should be good. I'm really excited. This is the podcast that I was the most excited to do. So, like, the topic I was the most excited to do.
So after this, it's all downhill.
It's super downhill. But it's also one of those topics that I was probably the most scared to do.
After this, we just say ping pong back and forth.
Yeah, they just had to ping pong for, like, 5 minutes because they were testing the recording. So, but it's also one of the topics that I was the most scared to do because I think that being frank about all this stuff is on some level difficult for people. Like, a lot of people have come to me and said, like, oh, you can talk about this with such ease, right? But it didn't always come easy, and there was definitely a time when I felt like I couldn't say this stuff to anyone. And so that's kind of one of the things that I want to address, because the central tenor of a lot of the correspondence that I've received from the first podcast, and also in general, is people who are telling me, like, this is really my thing, and I've recognized it as my thing, but I don't know what to do about it, and I don't know where to take it from there, because I don't feel like I can talk to anyone about it, and it's this thing that I feel like right now isolates me. And it doesn't have to be a thing that isolates you. It can be a thing that connects you to other people, and I think that's kind of what this set of episodes is going to be about.
It's also a topic that is just the communication is central to pretty much any sort of sexual satisfaction. Like, mm-hmm. being able to own what you want and communicate that to another person and be comfortable with it and make it sexy for somebody else and get what you need is very important for, you know, having a good sex life.
Yeah, it's definitely a key to happiness.
Specific, but, like, it's the same sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. And I think that there's definitely communication skills and things that we're going to talk about in this episode as it relates to us and our interest in TF that is super applicable to other things. I mean, TF is an unrealizable fetish. Like, it's sad, but it's true. Like, we're never going to be able to get to do the things we want to do in real life. And
oh, maybe we get to do some of them, but we talk about that.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, so, well, but you can, the point is you can get to a point, but you can never actually turn into a dog, Fuego. Like, I know I just crushed you forever, but, like.
Yeah, there are some parts of it you can't have and some parts of it you can't have, but I am, and I think you are too, a staunch believer in the halfway measure.
Yeah, I'm definitely an advocate for trying to pursue what is pursuable.
Well, the other good thing about it not being completely realizable is that you can change your mind and do all kinds of stuff. Like, you know, after you're done being a dog, you can totally be whatever else you want to be. Like,
yeah.
You know, you
yeah.
can
just... Like a fireman. Another dog.
Yeah,
or a fireman's dog.
Surgeon.
Oh, my God.
Fuego dog surgeon. Coming to ABC this fall.
It's like Toons is the driving cat.
Yes.
So much, much more intense. It has a much more, like, A-level soundtrack. Like,
yeah, and it's really, the dog is really obnoxious, like Dr. House.
Dr. House. Oh, my God.
Like, it's not, it's not Canis Lupus.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, it's never lupus. But, yeah, so I think... one of the things that I have heard from people, like I said, is that I guess the two things that I've heard from people the most are, I don't feel like I can talk about this with anyone, or I don't feel like it's something that I'll ever be able to do, and I'll never find someone to talk about this stuff with. And so those are the two things that I want to talk about first. So the first thing that I think it's a good idea to talk about is why we believe talking about this shit is important. Because I know that there's definitely people who honestly believe that maybe we just shouldn't. Maybe we shouldn't talk about this shit.
Well, I think also one of the things is, like, if you feel like in your head you are the only person who has these feelings, you alone are the one who feels like, I'm so weird. If I ever told anybody this, they would think I was the weirdest person alive. But guess what? You really... really aren't. You have no idea how many other people share the same beliefs or fetishes or ideas that you have, or would be willing to try those things to help you. And guess what? You know, sometimes people are reluctant at first, but then once they try things, they realize that that could totally be a thing that helps them in their life as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's super legit. And I think that one of the messages of the podcast in general, and something that I've really tried to say a lot, is you are not alone in this. Like, this isn't something that needs to isolate you from other people. And you don't need to treat it like a burden, because it's not. It's a cool thing that can help you and can get you off the hardest. And I want to talk about how that happens.
And oh it's also fair to say that the like it's about finding your audience. Like, you don't necessarily want to just be like, all right, I'm going to talk about this. Hey, Ma!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mom, I'm a wolf, guess what?
But only periodically, when I'm becoming the wolf is the good part, guys, all right?
Wait,
okay.
Wait, so
where's Dad?
Wait, you don't really want to talk about any sex stuff with your mom necessarily.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, but that audience is wider than you think it is by far. Like, yeah. I've had scenes with people who are completely non-TF people. They're not even furries. But I'm like, this is what I'm into, and we talk about it, and then, you know, we have a scene, and it works out pretty well.
Yeah, and so I think that if the base assumption is that I can never talk about it, and I will never find someone who's into it, you can talk about it, and you can find someone who's into it. So if you have those assumptions, you need to crumble them up into a ball and throw them away, and we're going to talk about how you make plans and move forward to get the things that you want. So one of the reasons, like, I want to talk a little bit about why we think talking about this stuff is important, because I think it's something that we all feel, like, to more or less of an extent, right? I probably talk about it too much.
Nope, no such thing.
No, yeah, I don't think you can talk about it too much. I mean, I talk about it a lot on Twitter, that's for sure.
Yeah, but...
Well, that comes down to, like, the audience stuff again. Like, you find people that... like talking about it, and you talk about it with them. I mean, that's what I think is probably the easiest first step, is to find, like, get into a TF community and just talked to them about that and then work backwards from there. And like, I know that's what I did in terms of, you know, I talked to people about TF and then became friends with some of them. And now I have really good friends that I can talk to about TF, which is not a position that I thought I would be in, like being able to be walking through a city and see a sign that makes me think of TF and be able to be like, oh, that makes me think of this joke that's related to the sexual fetish I have, and actually say that to the person next to me, and then be like, I know, right? High five.
Are you specifically talking about the McFlurry sign that we saw in Pittsburgh?
That wasn't TF related. No. The one I was thinking of was at one point I saw a sign related to bubble tea. It might have been with Toba, and that made me think of like something to do with like bubble butt bimbos or something. In any case,
at one point I was walking down the street in Miami and saw a burger place, and their sign said "Burgerfication."
Burgerfication is my new tag for all the porn I draw for you.
But, like, that's the sort of thing, like, being able to turn to someone and actually make that joke, even if it's just on Twitter or, you know, online or something, as opposed to just be like, wow, that makes me think of something, but I can't say that to anyone.
Yeah. So one of the reasons, then, that you're advocating to talk about this stuff is because you have these thoughts internally anyway. And it helps to externalize them, and it helps to be to somebody else, even if it's just a joke. Oh, hey, I thought this, and then they laugh. And that validates you and makes you feel less like you're a creep in a vacuum, right?
Who is that comedian that talks about if you sneeze and you hold in your sneezes, it backs up and you become stupid?
I don't know.
It's like that. Like, if you have an emotion and you hold it in, it backs up and you become angry.
Yeah.
Sad,
yeah, for sure. Or I've seen it become sadness a lot with people I could never talk about this, and I have all these thoughts and I can't share them and I don't know what to do with them, and so I've tried to stop having them.
You totally can share them.
And
I feel like it can lead to isolation too if you don't share the thoughts. I've found that with a few people I've talked to, you know, that they don't have anyone to talk to and they feel like they can't connect to anyone else, and so it just kind of makes them isolate themselves. Pretty terrible.
Yeah, and so I think talking to other people is a way to break that.
Yeah.
I think there's a good thing, too, because, like, even if you're just, like, following a couple of people on Twitter, because, like, if you're, like, as somebody who's had, you know, problems, I consider myself an introvert, and if you're, you know, not super big on, like, getting into Skype calls or doing stuff like that, even just having a couple of back-and-forth things on Twitter or things like that, or even having a Tumblr or something like that is a good way to, like, try and put those thoughts out there and, like, you know, have, you know, people react to it and things like that.
And at least have other people acknowledge them and say, like, oh, these are feelings that you have. Like, I've had similar feelings.
It's a good way to break the ice, or, you know, have, like, little bits of it without having to, like, we're not necessarily saying you need to, like, immediately, like, throw yourself into this community.
Hey, and, Mom!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, stop trying to bring your mom into this. Abe really wants his mom involved, I guess.
What would be really freaky is if your mom was like, you are a koala, we've told you this.
Why are you making it? Why are you giving mom an accent? All the koalas don't live there. Also, like, never mind.
There were many problems with this joke.
There's a lot of problems with this bit overall.
Problems with this bit. But anyway, so I think it's good to be able to talk about it from the point of view of not feeling isolated. Another reason why I think it's good to be able to talk about it is because talking about being able to communicate your sexual stuff, and especially sexual desire in general, is a really good life skill to have, because is absolutely the road to happiness. You can't sit back and expect other people to be able to intuit things as complicated as, okay, I could make my partner really happy if I would just pretend to, you know, turn them into a cat girl. Like, they're not going to guess that.
Some of people's first guess. It's like, okay, well, let's start with massaging here, and then what if I turn them into a cat girl?
Well, plus, like, imagine that you are somebody's partner, and every time you have sex with them, they are exceptionally bored and or thinking about something else.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how satisfying is that for you? Wouldn't you rather be able to push their buttons until they scream and just, like, ruin the furniture?
Yeah.
Like, that, wouldn't that be way better? It doesn't matter what
you're on the carpet.
I want to do. I want to make them ruin the furniture.
The carpet. But anyway.
That blanket Terry's mom gave you.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Anyway.
It was a gift.
It was super gift.
It can now no longer be returned.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Are we going to send it to Abe?
I can't...
No, that...
I don't know
that would get stopped at customs.
This is going to seem really weird and roundabout to people who don't have all the context for the conversation that we're having right now, but we're actually going to talk about it later, so I'm going to find a way to talk about this in front of the internet. There we go.
Well, I think one of the other things, too, is maybe you're involved in a relationship with a partner who doesn't necessarily know that you're into this thing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's probably something else we're going to touch on is what if you're in a relationship with somebody or pursuing a relationship with somebody who has no idea this is something you like.
Not even something you like. Something that exists.
Something that's just part of, you know, what you love and what you're about.
Yeah, I mean...
4 years.
Yeah.
And, the one thing I want to say on that note is that, you know, I've had this come up before when I'm in a relationship with someone that, you know, doesn't even like furry stuff. And it's, even, you know, bringing this level of stuff up, it wasn't the case of them being like, oh, that's terrible, go away. If you're in a relationship with someone and that person is a good person, they're not likely to react with like, nope, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, and if they do,
exactly. That's not a good person.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in terms of like being GGG. I know a lot of people aren't super into Dan Savage for a variety of reasons, but I think the concept of being GGG is really important.
Can you define GGG?
That's an acronym of it.
GGG is an acronym that stands for good, giving, and game, and it's something that a partner should always strive to be. Good and decent to your partner, giving in terms of making sure that they have what they need, and game in terms of being able to pursue their sexual desires, even if they're not necessarily your own. So, within reason, but, and within your personal limits. So anyway, one of the things I did want to say, and I think it's reasonable to talk about in this context, is that I think one of the issues in our community is that the separation between our fantasy sexuality and our personal sexuality is really intense. And I don't know if any other group of people has this maybe as bad as we do, because I know that it exists, like, a lot of times to the point where people don't even feel connected to their own sexuality, mm-hmm. and that can be really tough. And so I feel like talking to other people about your stuff is a way to be more comfortable with your personal sexuality and not just your fantasy sexuality, and to try and reconcile those a little bit.
Yeah, so. It's like the difference between this is the kind of stuff that I look at online and this is how I would like to actually have sex.
Yeah.
Like, involving me as a person, this is what I would like to do, as opposed to this is stuff that I find is interesting and habitually click plus fave.
Yeah. And
I think there's two reasons for that in our community. And the first is that there's a lot of sex negativity in the community.
Yeah, I can totally agree with that.
Yeah, that people think that, you know, sex is dirty and that bringing sexuality into a topic lowers the
dialogue
topic.
Yeah,
makes it less important to you as a human being, as though like sexuality is antithetical to seriousness or like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And secondarily, it's also in TF, I think it's kind of a defense mechanism too. Like, it's a way to save yourself from pining away because the thing that you really want is not a thing that you think is possible in real life.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely see that being a thing. Or a way to disconnect wanting something that you feel is problematic from yourself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're going to have a problematic podcast at some point, I think.
Yeah, I think that's probably something that we should do.
Yes. That's definitely an episode of the future. And guess what? There is no such thing as weird. There's no such thing as too gross.
There's things that are weird and gross, and then there's things that are really difficult.
Like, agreed.
And I think that TF sometimes gets into that realm of, like, this is a thing that it's really difficult for me to like and feel good about. Like, I've definitely hit that wall before.
Well, that's another reason to talk about it with people, so you can break down and deconstruct what it is about that thing that makes it hot for you.
Yeah.
And figure out why that problematic aspect, you know, appeals, and kind of separate those things and learn a little bit about yourself, right? Instead of just hiding in the bathroom and jerking off and then feeling terrible about yourself for years, right?
Yeah.
Unless so that is your fetish, in which case, you know, go nuts.
Yeah, it would be hypocritical for Abe to criticize anyone for drinking off too much. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, but not us. We don't drink.
Dang, are you going to drop the mic and walk away on that?
But, so, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, in conclusion, what?
No, but Fuego did bring up a good point, is that self-discovery is another reason why I think it's really important to talk about, because, like, I'll use me and Fuego as an example. We have been around the horn about TF stuff many, many, many times because we're very close on it. And talking to Fuego and kind of getting to see where the things that are good about it for her are have really helped me in terms of being able to look at those, contrast them with my things, and become a lot more specific and a lot more reflective about what I like and why I like it, to a point that I didn't ever think I would be at. Like, and also being able to verbalize what I need and why I need it to an extent that I never thought was possible, and I couldn't have done that if I wouldn't have talked to her. So.
Yeah, it's like if your choices are between, like, red and blue, it's easy to go, oh, well, I like blue. But if you've got a whole bunch of slightly different shades of blue, it's a lot easier to go, well, this is my favorite one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Further, when you do that deconstruction and you're like, I've got these five fetishes that are really strong, but what's in common about those and what makes them really good and what ruins them for me when they're ruined, then if you're playing with somebody else who, you know, doesn't have a great understanding of your TF fetish in particular, then it's easier for you to articulate that stuff, and it's easier for you to get those buttons pushed in a non-TF way if somebody's not into TF, if you're playing with somebody else, you know?
Yeah, and it also makes you a lot more aware of, I guess, your personal script.
Yeah.
Because, like, as someone with an unrealizable fetish, when you have vanilla sex, what happens?
You go off into your head and totally disconnect from your partner and replay one of Abe's stories in your head so that you can get off.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The law, by everybody, the way, guys. If you have this fetish, you have to do that.
Whoever thinks this podcast, please raise your hands in the air if you have ever had sex with another human being while thinking about being turned into an animal and replaying a story you read on the internet. Go for it right now.
Yeah, exactly. Or yeah. Not even necessarily a story from the internet, but a personal fantasy.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I mean in regards to your personal script. And getting to know that is really important, because someday you'll be with someone, and instead of having to play that script in your head, that person will be telling you that script while they fuck you.
And let me tell you, when that happens, it is destructive.
Destructive to pussy everywhere. Oh, man.
And let me just add, too, like, I know we've been pretty much talking about sex specifically, but there are other things, too, that you can kind of do in, like, your day-to-day life that also will help, like, with that as well. There are things that I think you can do and that your partner can do to help you, like, you know, actualize, like, not necessarily just in the bedroom or just having sex, but like I said, in day-to-day life. I will bring this example up. Like, I have been in, like, very pig mode lately. I've been total pig. It's just been a thing that I've been really into. And so yesterday we went to the movies, and I had Aang like, just feed me popcorn out of her hand, and I was just, she was just like, you could oink.
I made him oink for the popcorn.
Yeah, and that was super great.
And it was it was harmless. It was something that we could do in relative public without it being super, super weird. Like, okay, this is a little more low-key. Tyrion pets me all the time, no matter where we are. He pets me on the head. It's really physically reassuring. He does it while I drive, which is good because I hate driving. I'm really bad at it. So I have a lot of, like, anxiety around driving. So sometimes while I'm driving, he'll just pet me. And it's that validation of having somebody acknowledge your shit in even this tiny everyday way can really be super great.
And you get to feel cat.
And I get to feel cat. Although a lot of times,
well, you get to feel cat. Let's be fair, you're the one feeling the cat.
Yeah. I also feel cat.
Should we cut in rim shots for everything Abe says?
Yeah. I'm not gonna say what yeah, immediately.
Not, yeah,
immediately
yeah.
jumped into my head.
Abe needs an app on his phone that just plays a rim shot.
Yeah. Can we not talk about shots and Abe? Anyway. Yeah.
How about rimming and
Abe? Yeah, good
shots. I wasn't gonna say rimming. I was gonna say cum shots. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm glad that after two full minutes of dancing around that, we just fucking dived in anyway. That's the spirit of this podcast.
All right, so do you guys want to go around and talk about how you came to being able to talk about this stuff? Like,
yeah,
what your history is like? Because we did not, none of us were born fully formed from Zeus's head.
You didn't leap from
about
your
our sexual
head fully
shit.
Formed. Yeah.
Yeah, just jumping out of a forehead going, hey, I like turning into dog girls.
I think that's really useful, though, because it provides a template then for people who don't know how they could possibly ever start talking to another person about this. Me and Terry's is pretty much the same because it was with each other. So,
why don't you travel together then?
Okay. Well, basically what we started doing is at a certain, like, we hit on this magic moment very early in our relationship when we started dating when I was 16.
And I was 18.
So, well, yeah, let's not talk about that. So we hit on this magic moment relatively early in our relationship where I basically intuited that Tyrion was into pet play in a really innocuous way. He had a collar that was like a choker. It was like a leather choker.
It was an MTV branded leather like choker that you got at Hot Topic for like goth kids because
yeah.
I was flirting with this goth phase that
it
never really
holds,
got off
like,
the ground.
It still holds like a pretty intense place in my heart.
Yes.
This collar. So he had it, and he never wore it. It wasn't
it
the
was
right
too,
size for him.
Yeah.
But he had it. You used to keep it hanging on the edge of your bedroom mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing something the one day. It wasn't actually having sex. It was like, I forget what it was.
But, I think we were just like doing what teenagers do.
Yeah, which is have like not quite
awkwardly,
sex, very badly.
Awkwardly groping at each other.
Yeah. So Terry interrupted the awkward groping and was like, hold on, and he stopped, like he couldn't articulate what he wanted me to do, and somehow I made the fucking leap to like, you want me to wear the collar, don't you?
Yeah, and then Angel started singing, and like my eyes like lit up, and it was just like, music was playing, and it was just like, this is the one I will marry.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it was intense, because it was the first time that I had ever made that leap with someone that I would make many more times with him and later with other people, like to be able to intuit this thing that someone wants. So I started wearing collar. We got him a collar. We started doing a lot of pet play stuff. We invented the collar game, which is when you put a collar on your partner and they can no longer verbalize human words, which is the hottest. And like,
oh, sweet Jesus.
What'd you say?
I said, oh, sweet Jesus.
It's hot though, isn't it? So we started doing that, and we got more and more into this, like, animal-focused sex, which is our favorite. Like, we defaulted to, like, the first time we ever had sex, like, when I lost my virginity, we were determined to have, like, vanilla sex, and we did, and that was probably the last time we had vanilla sex.
Yeah.
Like, I kind
of crossed that off the list and we're like, okay, moving on.
The other thing we talked about is if we ever have a kid, Boda is like, no, 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 no. My kid is not going to have, like, the weird fetish birth.
the like, conception
story.
Conception.
Yeah. So we're going to have to, like, hold back for that.
I don't even know. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't want to think about it. But
no, right, no. I was going to add that, like, you know, there have been times when, like, you know, it's been hard because you're, like, you know, we did a lot of cat stuff. Like, that's kind of where we started.
Yeah.
But then, like, it was still hard because you're, like, that was sort of, like, our thing. And you were, like, how do you bring up other stuff? Like, what if we tried this?
I had a lot of trepidation about initiating it. And I think the first thing that I really was nervous about initiating, you initiated, and then I really liked, which was cow stuff.
Yeah. Oh my God, cow stuff. And that was something that was just, like, it's always that weird moment where you're just like, wait a minute, you like that? I like that. And it's like, oh, no. And but we just kind of go back.
Let me say, you have that moment all the time. I don't mean you guys specifically. I mean, that comes up a lot with people when you start talking about stuff. And you're like, yeah, I guess I kind of like this thing. And then they're like, what? I'd like this thing also.
Yeah.
And then everyone orgasms.
That might have just happened to me, Dave, in like a super explosive way. That was great.
But to be fair, even late on into our relationship, I still found myself being the type of person who was just like, I don't necessarily want to bring this kind of thing up.
Yeah.
Because, like, what if she thinks I'm weird? What if she thinks this is too much? What if she thinks this is going to be the worst thing and she refuses?
Yeah.
And, like,
do you remember when we started doing the like, sessions where we would just lay down and tell each other what we thought was hot?
I think that helped. Yeah.
I think that was like the best.
That is super genius.
That was what we would do is we would sit down and I would, and this is how we came up with Sin, is we would lay down and he would tell me something he thought was hot and I would tell him something I thought was hot. And the rule was it had to be something that you hadn't said before. So like,
this is the greatest relationship game that has ever been created. I'd like to ask every human being on earth plays it and some higher mammals.
Well, you know what? The easy version of this game is the card game that Aang invented, I Can't Fap for This, because you don't have to think of stuff. You just it's already written on the cards, and then you just have to be like, I like that.
Yeah.
You don't even have to say it out loud.
You could just put the cards down.
So there you go, that game that'll be available in
2023. Yeah.
But that's a good point is if you don't feel comfortable talking about stuff, write it down. Mm. Make somebody a list of all the things that you like and then trade lists. Like,
yeah, that was a good, that works well too.
That works
yes,
well.
Yes, no, maybe
yes,
list.
Yes, no, maybe list. Yeah, that's very doable.
There are fetish checklists that you can find online
for
that specifically.
Yeah.
And there's even ones for pet play too, so.
Oh, I should have
put that out there.
I should have looked for those.
Oh yeah.
So we eventually got to this place where telling each other the things that we thought was hot was our thing that we did. But even with that, there was still stuff that I felt like I can never tell him this. Like it's too scary. Like this is too gross. Like,
hey, guess what? Insect queens. Oh, you thought those were too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Insect queens.
That was that thing Aang was referring to earlier. And speaking of which, look out for our next collaboration.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you want to throw
insect queens a go-go.
You want to throw a plug in there, yeah.
Yeah, we went from like, I guess I kind of like this. Hey, I kind of like this also. To within literally 1 week. We had to organize the next thing we were going to do. So if you like that classical condition thing, but you also kind of like insect queens, yeah, we got you covered.
Maybe. Thank you for putting a huge plug for our shit in the middle of the podcast.
Honestly, if they're already listening to this podcast, they're probably already like...
You want to mention the name of it so people can look out for it.
Oh, Hive Mind is the name of the insect queen thing. But we're going to come out with like a website for all of our stuff. It's called Chain Reaction. I'm working on like a million projects at once, and it's ridiculous. But yeah, so insect queens. I could never tell Tyrion that I liked them because they're gross. Like, I get it. They're gross. Like, I no longer feel terrible that I like it. But it's relatively hard in terms of, like, just the sheer, it's the least human thing. Like, it's kind of scary. Like, there's a lot of stuff involved with it that's kind of more niche than I usually traffic in. Like, sorry, Abe, we can't all be you.
No, but your point is that, like, you still, up to, like, this day, I felt like there's stuff, like, I'm into the... Because sometimes, like, your fetish thing is always ever-evolving and ever-changing,
right?
In fact,
things was the last thing. I don't have any more things that you don't know about.
But I'm saying, like...
What is future?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. So, so that's pretty much us. And then, yeah. And then, like, Tyrion's last thing was, like, the latex mask. And that was only because I was always really down on them. But now that we have one, I think it's incredible. So.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'll touch more on that when we do part two of this and I talk about the gear. But my whole point was, like, you are a work in progress, the hypothetical you, not Aang specifically, but I'm saying, like, you're always coming up with new things, and, like, sometimes you'll discover new... That's part of it, too, is if you can find somebody who opens up your mind to something that you never thought you'd be into, and that you, like, and that's kind of how our relationship is. Like, we always have that trepidation of, like, oh, what if this is the line? What if this is the line that I finally crossed? And it's like, that's, but you know what? Even if you cross the line and you have a good partner, they'll be like, it's not my thing.
Not my thing.
But, you know, I will entertain that thing for you.
I can get down with it. Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that through talking to your partner, that's how you get people into things that they weren't into. There's definitely been things that...
You're the one who does that.
Well, other people do that too, right? Like, right?
Yeah, other people can do that. I think it helps if you're a content creator so that you can go from, hey, this is something that I like and think is hot, to, ah, here it is.
Yeah, there you go. You totally did it to me.
Well, I'm also a content creator, just a different kind.
But you don't
I'm just
have
saying, I'm not the content. Only person that fucking does it.
No, and I don't want to pigeonhole the audience by thinking, like, oh, you have to be an artist or a writer in order to fulfill these things.
No,
and I don't want to hear that as an excuse from anyone.
But you do.
She will punch you.
I will punch you.
You have to be able to articulate it. That means you have to understand yourself.
Yes. It's about self-discovery.
Yeah.
So, Fuego, how did you go through opening up about it, like that process?
So, I have been into TF in a fetish capacity since, like, my early teens.
Mm-hmm.
In serious, serious fetish capacity, as in, if there's no TF involved, I am not getting off. End of story, period.
Mm-hmm.
All capital letters.
So, like, the actual dictionary definition of a fetish instead of a kink.
Yeah.
When we say fetish, we really mean kink, but we've been kind of using.
But Fuego really means fetish, like.
Yes, like it is required.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if I don't have my stick, I can't do magic. So, I spent years, even though I am married happily and have a super open partner and we're like the kinkiest motherfuckers ever, I spent years not talking about it. So when I had sex with somebody, I was replaying a story in my head, no matter what. And I felt ashamed about that because I wasn't engaged in the activity, really, right? Like, I had to leave and go someplace in my head.
Yeah.
So I was finally able to talk about that, and he said, yeah, that's fine. If you need to do that, you need to do that. So don't worry about that. But we didn't get into playing with it at all because, you know, I was ashamed of it. It's the sort of thing that you look at on the internet and then close right away and you don't tell anybody about, et cetera, et cetera.
Not anymore, but there's definitely a point.
Close all tabs.
I am sure there are people listening to this for whom that is still the case, right?
Absolutely, I'm sure.
But I
still have everything opened on incognito mode, so yeah, I still have a little bit of that.
Abe has 360
tabs open.
I live
alone, by the way, so it's not even easier.
All right, so it took me years to even talk to him about that, and then even then I still had zero connection to the TF community. Like, I knew zero people, and I lurked everywhere. I didn't engage at all.
Yeah.
I didn't discuss anything.
And that's a good point. Can I just interrupt you for 2 seconds?
Yeah, sure.
I want to say that one of the things that's really important about this whole thing is I want to de-incentivize lurking. Lurking is not going to get you the things that you want. Like, it's, you're not communicating with anyone, you're not gonna make connections, you're gonna be able to take the things that you find to be able to use for your purposes, and then that's where it ends. And I don't think lurking is bad. Like, if you're a lurker, I don't think you're a bad person, but I think that it's not productive.
I think, yeah, I mean, like, somebody like me who is more passive, and I think I'm okay, like, you know, kind of being awash in all of the media and discussions and all those things is fine. But as long as you feel, if you have that inclination of, like, you can't do that yourself, that's problematic.
Yeah. Anyway,
and there's also the fact that, you know, you do have someone to talk to about all this kind of stuff, Terry, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
I am lucky in that regard.
The place where lurking becomes a problem is when it is a symptom of shame or fear, mm-hmm. then it's a real problem.
Yeah.
And I think it's healthy to connect with people on things, especially this sort of stuff. So, I mean, that took me a long time to do. But actually, the first TF person that I ever actually talked to, like, seriously started talking to about it was when I met you guys at Anthrocon the first time.
Was that 2009 or 2010?
I want to say 9.
Yeah, I think it was 9. But then we went to the TF Jam and I met more people there. And that's when I met Taki, who lived down the street from me.
Yeah, wow. That still blows my mind.
I know, that was really weird.
Like, what you keep lucking out over and over with this.
Well, so now at this point in my life, I think I have I'm really lucky, yeah. But I think I have like a sixth sense about who I can spill all my fetish stuff to that won't like shoot me in the face, throw me out in the middle of the street,
mm-hmm.
right? Like when we were playing the other weekend, there was somebody that I've been talking to. And she's like a normal vanilla person, as far as I knew.
Normal.
And I'm like,
but yeah,
like I think she's gonna be cool with this. And like I just spilled the whole thing, and she was 1,000% cool with it.
Yeah.
So I think after you talk to people, you sort of get the idea of who's open to learning things and who isn't. If you're looking to talk.
Let me ask you a question, Fuego, because I think this is something that's on a lot of people's minds. Have you ever encountered anybody who you told that stuff to and they were like, no, that's so bizarre, that's too weird, I could never, or like I think a lot of people have that fear of rejection. I think a lot of people have that fear that they're going to be perceived as completely bizarre and it's going to validate those feelings of feeling, you know, like, oh, clearly I was too crazy or something like that.
No, not a single one.
Okay.
However, I am pretty good at reading people, especially at this point in my life. And a lot of the circles that I run in are very, like, queer and kink friendly. So, yeah. one of the rules in queer kink land is your kink is not my kink, your kink is okay.
Yes.
Right? So, like, you might not be into it. And this is a thing that I wholeheartedly believe in. If somebody says, oh, that's gross, I no longer want to be that person's friend. Like, if you don't like something, that's great. Shut the fuck up. But, yeah. Don't make somebody else feel uncomfortable about the stuff they're into. That's the worst thing you can do. You are not just talking about what you like when you do that. What you are doing is disincentivizing a human being from expressing their emotions.
And exactly. And from engaging in a conversation that's necessary for them to be, like, a complete human being.
Exactly. So,
well, Liz is a complete human being if they so choose.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Sorry. Human being.
Fine. All right.
Right. So yeah, that's how I feel about that. And I feel like if somebody is open to you and somebody is somebody that's important to you and you're important to them, I feel like you should be able to have that conversation with them. Like, at no point should you say something like, hey, I'm into this thing that hurts zero people. They shouldn't turn away from you, or else they're terrible.
Yeah. And a decent partner, like, partner especially, because, like, if you're talking to, like, random, like, more random people or, like, you know, trying to find a play partner or whatever, that's different. But your actual long-term partner should never put down the shit that you like. Mm. And if they do, then that's not great.
That's abuse.
It is abusive because it makes mm-hmm. you feel terrible. So.
It's especially things like this that are kind of innate to a person. It's like saying you're a terrible person to your partner, and that's not okay.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I don't know how much people realize is, like, I'm sure there's people listening to this who've tried to turn this off, and they can't, and I can't, and you can't.
Sure.
None of us can. You can't turn off your shit, even if you want to.
Nope.
So it's better to accept it, to be able to deal with it, and find people who will be decent to you about it. Anyway, sorry.
Except in that story where Abe is writing me as a robot and then I get unplugged.
What the fuck?
I honestly don't know what happened there, but sure.
It's just aneurysm after aneurysm. Anyway. Right,
so, like, it took a long, long time to be able to open up about it, even though I had people who were good to me, mm-hmm. And willing to listen, just because I thought it was, you know, weird. But having opened up about it and now being, like, a huge proponent of people opening up and talking about what they want and getting what they want, that I know now my sex was never, ever satisfying before at all. I would prefer to be by myself with, you know, TF media than to have sex with any other person previously. And now that's totally turned around. And the only way that you can turn that around and really connect to a person that you're playing with or you're having a relationship with is to open up like that and have those conversations. And they're a little bit scary, but if the person is worthwhile, they're going to listen to you and they're going to try to give you what you need.
Yeah. And it's not like having these realizations and establishing this dialogue invalidates all the sex you've ever had with someone or, like, makes it so that nothing you ever did was good. It's not about making everything that came before seem worse. It's about making what's coming after seem better. So I think that that's an important point because I don't want people to feel like I'm trying to invalidate all the sex they've ever had that didn't incorporate this.
No, my sex was no good before.
No, I get what you're saying in that regard, but that's a difference between you and me.
Yeah.
Like,
I am going to be legitimately curious to hear Abe's story because Abe is a very personable dude, so I'm really curious to kind of hear, like, the transformation, no pun intended, of, like, how you kind of opened
up. Hey, Abe, how did you start talking about this shit?
Oh, no, the line is dead. No.
guys, I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so with me, it was a case of a very long, slippery slope, essentially. So I went from, you know, initial discoveries of TF stuff, and I'm not going to go into detail of that because, you know, it's the same sort of shit that everyone has, and that's also just sort of not really the point here. But initial discoveries of that to having to log into webs to make accounts and log into websites in order to actually see the stuff that I wanted to see to then sort of, like, putting some things out there from the sense of, like, well, the one that started getting me to interact was website called ChooseYourOwnChange.net, which was basically a bunch of interactive stories where there would be stories there and they would end on a particular chapter and then you would write something else in to go. And I was always like, well, I want the story to go in this direction, so I guess I'll, you know, write that, and so it does go in that direction. And so I did some writing there, and then a bit after that I started doing writing on FurAffinity, putting it up there. And I was actually talking to Aang about this the other day, but it was a good at least a year from when I started putting stuff up, stories up on FA and just having some people being like, oh, that's cool, I guess, and sort of some comments like that. It was about a year of just that level of interaction where I didn't really talk to anyone. And then after that, there was a point where I saw, like, the amount of interaction in the community that other people were having. Like, I saw Aang's Twitter feed, but at that point I didn't know her. So I didn't want to just be like, well, I'll just join that. So I started talking to people sort of slowly. For one, I talked to Aang a little bit where I went back when she used to have her own forum thing that was that Owakaki forum.
Yeah.
Yeah, until it was taken over and colonized entirely by spam bots.
Sorry.
Fine. But so I talked with her, interacted with her a little bit on that. She ran a competition for, like, hey, come up with a story prompt and then I'll draw something for it. And I was like, well, all right then, and wrote a thing and she really liked it. And so then she drew a picture of it and then I wrote a rest of the story for that.
And it's still the only G-rated thing we've ever done together.
What story was that?
It's the one with the girl turning into the snake girl and then she doesn't get fucked.
No.
So,
missed opportunity.
Oh, okay. I remember the picture.
That's bizarre.
She doesn't get fucked, and there's no eggs.
Yeah, well, I deliberately made it PG because at that time I was like, I want to put all the R-rated stuff and the stuff that I'm doing with this actual person.
Yeah.
Like, no, let's just keep this PG. That seems more respectful. After
nothing.
Well, after that, the first person that I actually got properly talking to was Fuego, actually. Like, she was the first person that I added on Skype and started talking with directly because Fuego seemed very approachable and very open, because this was post her having gone to that AC days, when she was just like, fuck it, everyone who wants to talk TF can do it at me. Here is my Twitter, my adult Twitter, where I tweet about all this kind of shit. Fucking bring it, everyone. So I was like, yeah, that sounds like the sort of thing that is easy to start interacting with. Then from there, I commissioned Aang a couple of times, and that got a bit of a back-and-forth dialogue going.
Yeah.
And then eventually we got to the point where we started talking, and we kind of realized that we just clicked into being really good friends, that we just had a lot in common aside from TF stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the big major step was also when I went to AC, which would have been a good 2 years at least after Fuego, because it would have been, it was last year, so 2013.
Yeah.
And given that I'm from New Zealand, that was a bit more of a stretch, but I was planning on doing a trip around anyway. So, yes, I flew to the States to attend Anthrocon and other things, because that is not how I sold that trip to everyone else that I knew.
Yeah.
But, that was the first time that I physically met a bunch of these people. And as I'm sure they will recall, when I first actually met them, it was in the lobby of the hotel for Anthrocon having tried to climb the stairs
with
to my
all
room.
Your worldly possessions.
With all my worldly possessions.
Literally
all
of them.
Well, because I was moving after this trip, so I had everything with me that I had still sort of had. And so I'd gone up something like 20 flights of stairs and then got a text from them saying, like, hey, we're down in the lobby. And I was like, oh, okay, and turned around and then came up and said hello to everyone. And I was just dripping
in
with sweat.
In his
I was
rumpled
like,
fucking hat.
Oh, yeah, because I had the hat.
Oh, my God, that hat.
And then I was just like, hi.
Oh, my God.
Nice to meet all of you.
But at that point, we were already, like, besties.
Yeah, at that point,
and I just hadn't met you.
Yeah, at that point, we'd already Skyped a lot, and I'd seen, like, pictures of Aang and Tyrion's wedding and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, we'd already got to know each other, but that was the point where I sort of met the wider group of people, and I guess I sort of cemented it as, like, oh, okay, this is a community that I'm fully part of now. I can't just fade into the mist at that point if I just decide to nope.
That's a good point. There are maybe people out there who live in, like we're lucky. We live in the United States where it's, like, the global melting pot of weird fetish stuff. But, like, sometimes...
Well,
and Germany. Germany. Germany is, like, the heaven of fetish land.
Terry watches mostly, like, rubber porn, and, like, so much of it is German.
Best rubber porn comes out of Germany, what can I say?
Sprockets.
Yes, sprockets. But, no, I think that's a good point, because there may be people out there who don't live in the best geographical location for, like, physical meetups or things like that. Mm-hmm. So this is a good thing to talk about.
Yeah,
and from that point of view, I would say, like, I wouldn't have just gone to Anthrocon just be like, oh, I want to meet some people. Let's fly to Pittsburgh from New Zealand, because no one makes that decision.
Yeah.
But... once I'd already invested in becoming friends with multiple people, and I knew all of those people were going to be at Anthrocon, and because I had the means and stuff to travel anyway, it made it easy after having made that investment to then go out and meet people. So, yeah, I guess my advice on that would be to make friends with people first, and then you can get to the point of being like, oh, I should actually go take this friendship to the next level and meet them in person.
Okay. You've talked a lot about meeting people in person. How did you start talking about your sex shit with people?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
You totally deked that question anyway.
I didn't mean to. But, yeah, I mean, it came from that. I mean, meeting people in person was the first time that I could sort of say stuff like that, even, like, obliquely to people directly.
Yeah.
Like, I'd... I'd already had times where I had said this to people that I was in relationships with in terms of, you know, this is something I like. And those conversations had always sort of gone in the direction of like, oh, okay, that's, you know, that's a thing. Huh, well, fair enough. Good luck for you. But that's not my thing. But hey, good on you. But in terms of having this group of people that I already knew my stuff was the norm there, that was one of the things that AC was really interesting for, because it was this period of 4 days or so where the specific shit that I liked, even because of the group I was hanging out with, like specific tier fetish, that was normal. So you could say stuff like, you know, oh man, isn't this picture of, you know, this girl turning into something, isn't this super hot? And everyone there would be like, sure, yeah, really is. So that was the sort of the first part of actually being able to bring that stuff out. After that, it was just a case of talking to people for long enough that I ended up slowly breaking through the barriers of, you know, like, oh, well, you know, I like this. Oh, you also like this. That's cool. And then slowly as time went on, sort of going more and more on that. Because unlike Terry and Aang, I wasn't in a relationship with anyone. So it wasn't like I was already having sex and it was better to just bring this up because that makes for better sex. It was just a case of like, oh, hey, you know, I am making this porn. This seems really good. Oh, you seem to really like this porn. Maybe we should talk about this porn?
Maybe we should make porn yeah. to each other.
But yeah, that's another good point, too, is you don't necessarily have to be in a long-term relationship with somebody or try and pursue a long-term. You could find friends or play partners or just, you know. Mm-hmm. People yeah. just to talk about it with, just over Twitter, casually, yeah. you know.
And it could have, and sort of, in a lot of ways it went backwards from that, because some of my first interactions with Fuego were basically, like, online play partner stuff with her. And, like, being able to do that with someone was just like, oh, hey, let's let this out at someone, and it seems to go down pretty well.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, you're good at letting out the things she likes.
So in terms of like moving on from that, it going from this is a random person on the internet that I have no real connection with that I can say this stuff at and get it out, but there's nothing else there, to actually meeting people as people and being friends with them and having, yeah, like in a lot of ways it was sort of backwards, like getting the hardcore stuff out of the way first and then working backwards. But there were some people, like with Aang, that I sort of was friends with first. And at first I was all like, oh, let's keep this super PG because, you know, I don't want to weird her out or anything. Then eventually we're like,
everyone
hey.
Has this misconception of me that I am like Miss Not Porn. I think I have shattered that misconception at this
point. Nobody has ever had that misconception about me.
Yeah, exactly. But there's also the fact that Aang being a well-known artist, like I knew from the first points that I started talking to her that she had a lot of people that were not very cool bugging her in not very cool ways, by which I mean just yeah. apropos of nothing, just being like, you know, asterisk licks your face, asterisk kind
yeah.
of thing.
Or people who I didn't know approaching me to type fuck, which yeah. I'm not interested in. Like, I'm yeah. sorry. Mm-hmm. So.
And it's that sort of thing. Like, I didn't want to be that sort of person, and so I went quite far back the other way in terms of being like, well, let's not address things, you know, let's not talk about that at all. But, you know, we have other connections. It was only after I felt comfortable that I wouldn't be bugging her to acknowledge that sexuality exists that I was like, well, hey, what about that, though?
But I really like it when you acknowledge that sexuality exists.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's how it is helpful sometimes to actually make that leap, because you can go from, you know, having a really good conversation with someone to having a really good conversation where you can talk about all things, including the best things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And then you have a really good, really directed conversation at someone that's really good. Like, yeah. We'll talk about that later because we're going to talk about dialogue. I think that's your thing.
We're going to have to break this up into, like, 4 podcasts.
Oh, my God. But it's all good stuff. Like,
it's completely good stuff. It's the best stuff there is. It's like Snapple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The big Snapple.
These are the big Snapple. Oh, my God. The big Snapple. Big Snapple, you guys.
Hey guys, Big Snapple.
Okay, so yeah.
Shout out to all the my brother and me.
We're giving them a shout out on this weird sex podcast. Anyway.
I hope they never hear about it.
Nobody Yahoo question asks them about it. Yeah.
Hey, McElroy's, we're so sorry.
We're really sorry, McElroy's.
So, do you wanna hear about like how?
Yes.
Yeah.
What was your first time talking about TF with anybody?
Well, it's interesting. I think for me, like, I've, as far as like sex goes, it's always been kinky for me. And then I was always into like the making myself into a cat kind of thing. And
that's
so,
the best thing.
Yeah. So I guess I was lucky in that I've had a string of like willing partners along the way. And, I think, the last one that I really had a relationship with, I just kind of threw it all out there and I told her just right out, I'm like, I want to be your pet. And, you know, this is something that I'm really into. And she was really kinky anyway. And so she was like, okay. And she got into it. She really got into it. And that was awesome. But at the same time, when I met her, I met another mutual friend. I don't know if I can use her name or not. But anyway, she's really into TF. And I sort of approached her boldly one time because we were camping. And, well, I heard her meow from her tent. And so then that was a good segue for me to approach her and be like, hey, I heard you make this noise last night. I'm really into this. Are you really into this too? Yeah.
Do you want to make that noise together?
Are you really into this too? And she was like, yeah, but I'm really into like people turning into animals. And I was like, oh my God, me too.
Yes.
And, that's how it started, and she's still the person that I talk to the most about this.
Awesome.
It's like that C.S. Lewis quote, like, friendship occurred first between two men who were like, hey, I want to turn into a cat girl.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's in, you know, Alice in Wonderland, yeah.
I'm almost positive the talk is.
Awesome. So you kind of, it was like, it was a combination of knowing people who were kinky who you thought would be cool with it, and then just random happenstance.
Yeah, it really was. And the interesting thing was, is that she, you know, she has a partner, a long-term partner. They've been together for years now. And her partner is not into the TF stuff at all. And it actually took her a long time to talk about it with her partner, too. And I actually got her to realize that this was something that could be actualized in real life because she kind of didn't think that it would work.
Yeah.
That it was something that could be, you know, role played out and still be really hot.
But you use your super cat girl powers.
Oh, of course.
Yes, it can be acted out, and yes, it's stupid fucking hot.
All cat girls have those powers.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's awesome. and I know who you're talking about, and like since you guys have gotten more involved with that stuff, I've honestly seen both of you become like happier, more satisfied, more outgoing, like just really it's so good to see people get what they need.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say though, I have been lucky because like the past few partners that I've had, with the exception of like one, have, you know, we're receptive to it. And, you know, the one that I met at the same time as this friend, my TF friend, she really got into it. She especially loved it when I did the makeup. And there would be times when, you know, she would request it and she would be like, can you put the makeup on? It's really fucking hot.
Yeah.
And and so that was pretty awesome.
That's awesome. Sometimes being asked for what you want to do, it's really hot.
Yeah.
It's having somebody else indulge your shit is pretty hot. And
it is.
It's when you get with somebody who has the same shit that you do, it creates this insane feedback loop of like you get off on them getting off. Yeah, coming. You get off on them getting off and they get off on getting you off, and it just everything drives everything, and it's insane.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah. So that's awesome. So I think that that's kind of a good segue into maybe talking about what happens when your partner isn't super into it. So, because, I mean, I lucked out with Tyrion in that he indulges me and gets it on, like, a level of, like, as close to getting it as possible without TF actually being his, like, a number one thing.
Mm.
But there's still, like, there's still a little bit of where I had to figure out how to work his stuff into my stuff. And
yeah, and I think that's a good thing, too, because, like, if you're lucky, you know, you can find those middle ground areas of, like, places where you can kind of, like, that's where sin, that really is where sin came from. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I have my whole rubber deal, and Boda has mostly the TF stuff, and
yeah.
So that where the two met
yeah.
became our rubber cat girl character, Sin, who,
yeah.
you know.
I get to act like an animal and do pet play and do crazy lustification, solidification. Like,
solidification.
Getting covered in jizz, whatever.
Burgerfication.
And they're polished. Burgerfication, yes. That's a short, that's shorthand for all those things. So I get to do all that stuff, and then Tyrion gets the rubber stuff, the encasement stuff, all the things about
the
it that are really good for him.
The bondage, all
bondage,
that kind of a,
yeah.
So, you know, that's cool, because, like, if you're able to find that middle ground area and kind of, you know,
leverage that,
you know, like, or the other thing too, I think that we haven't really brought up is kind of the, like, if the two things, like, you maybe have going on are completely, like, not compatible at all, like, say you're with somebody who is, like, completely into vanilla, plain, no kinks attached type of sex, but you're a little bit kinkier and you're a little bit more like, I want to try and engage the TF stuff to try and help me, you know, like, you can have that tit for tat type of a relationship where they can help you and they'll engage you and try and let some of those things come out, as long as, you know, you're willing to, you know, be GGG yourself and give them what they need in order to, you know, be complete. But, you know, like, you have to be as willing to give and receive.
Yeah. And I think it's about keeping an even balance of indulging each other, and also to find happiness in indulging your partner. So,
like, yeah, like, say, like, if you're more of, like, the heteronormative type of guy and you meet a girl whose whole thing is she wants to be taken by Jack Sparrow or, like, something like that. She wants a pirate night. You could, you know, you got to be willing to go pirate.
You can go pirate. And you know what? Even if being a pirate isn't your boner rocket ship, like, you can get off on seeing your partner get off. Like, as close as me and Fuego are, there are things that are good for her that are not good for me, but that I have deployed when we've done stuff together. I want to keep beating around the bush. Like, I fucked Fuego. Like, is that okay?
What? Oh, my God.
Like, everybody knows that, but, like, everybody on this podcast knows it. But
that wasn't hot at all, and I totally wasn't there for that.
You totally were there. It was amazing. But, like, I didn't want this to be about, like, oh, all the sex I've had. But I'm just saying, like, in order for me to be able to talk about this, I had to say that. So,
yeah.
So we've done stuff together that was like that, and I was topping in the situation for an entire weekend, and it was fucking phenomenal.
Mm.
And
statement.
Understatement.
Understatement.
So I definitely deployed things in my, like, from my bag of tricks that weren't about getting me off. They were about getting her off. And watching that got me off. Like, seeing how much I could do that to someone else was where the hotness was, instead of, oh, this is 100% my jam. Because, I mean, it was 95% my jam anyway, but, like, that last 5% didn't matter, because you bridge the gap with just making the other person come the hardest.
And you nailed those buttons because we were able to talk about it first. And
exactly.
If we weren't able to articulate and talk about how we're the same and how we're different, you never would have been able to completely and utterly destroy my life.
Yeah.
With
Sorry.
Words.
With fucking.
but the things that you said. It's not like how your fingers moved or your mouth. It was the words that came out of your head.
Yeah. Well, that's back to what we were talking about the script and about how important it is for people like us who have unrealizable fetishes to be able to run the script. And probably one of the things that's really, really important to us is dirty talk.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is how you bridge the gap from, okay, I'm doing things to you in real life, and maybe there's things that are symbolic. Maybe you're wearing a collar, maybe I have a leash, or maybe there's things that are symbolic of stuff that's not pet play. Fine. But, like...
Fine, I guess.
Fine, I guess, whatever. But, like, you bridge that gap from, like, okay, this person's fucking me, and I'm thinking about this, to this person is fucking me, and I am turning into an animal, by that person doing things and telling you how you're turning into an animal. And that's when you get to turn off the script in your head, and that is the best fucking moment.
And you're there with the person. You are together turning into an animal. You're not by yourself someplace else.
Yeah, you're totally in the fucking moment. You don't have to run the script. And this person is telling you the things that you've always needed someone to tell you.
And let's just be clear, like, you could get that same level of satisfaction not in person either.
Yeah.
Like, you can, there are so many different ways to try and make that happen.
There's definitely ways to do that.
Yes. You can do a Skype call. You can do text only. You can write stories back and forth.
Yeah.
You
can make recordings back and
make forth. Make recordings.
Those are fun.
That's something we've been experimenting with lately.
Yeah. That's something I've
said. New scientists have developed this technology of making recordings.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you can't be around for reasons or because of time differences, it's nice to have, like, an arsenal, a library of things where you can turn it on, and it's somebody telling you your script. And it's really nice.
Nice, yeah, it's definitely nice.
So, but that brings me up to another good point. Like, there may be people out there who aren't 100% clear about what their stuff actually is yet.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of work under the assumption that, you know, like, you're all, like, have this complete fully formed idea in your head of what this should be.
Yeah. But you don't, but and that's why talking is important.
Yeah, talking is important because it helps you figure that stuff out. But, you know, there's also that journey of self-discovery, so that if you need to try and figure that stuff out more, and this is something we've used not just for, like, TF stuff, but I think it helps just in life. If you're ever having a hard time trying to figure something out, write it down.
Yeah. And we talked about that a little bit, where make a list and stuff like that.
Make a list or, you know, write a story or try and come up with, you know, maybe it's just a small paragraph describing the ideal thing that you would like to happen or, you know.
To describe
that's a whole other podcast, figuring out your shit.
Yeah.
And it involves not just writing that one story, but writing every story you can think of and then trying to figure out what the
common thread is. Yeah. And
AKA my entire body of work.
Yeah, but AIM is super easy to figure out. I mean, in some regards.
Because it's all there.
In some regards, he's really tough to figure out. But in that regard, he's easy to figure out because I can look at everything he's ever written and be like, oh, dude really likes cum. Okay.
that may be a thread.
Fetishes that you are hiding from yourself, and the only way that you can sort out what those things are is by, you know, dispassionately taking apart all of the stuff that turns you on and all the stuff that turns you off, and thinking about it with somebody.
Yeah, and the best way to do that is to make comparisons with other people to say, mm-hmm. "Oh, is this hot? Is it not hot? Why?"
Yeah.
Next thing. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. The other thing that I wanted to talk about having a partner who isn't super into your jam is trying to get the latitude to do stuff with other people.
Oh, yeah.
And that can be really great.
That can also be very difficult, especially if you're already in a long-term relationship. And this is something we've, you know, had issues with, and, you know, we're still struggling with, and, you know, we keep, you know, that I've been trying to open up to a little bit more is just like, oh, maybe there are people out there who are much better at this than I am, but I shouldn't have to feel bad about
it's not that. About being better, though, and I don't, I really don't like the competition aspect of
it's
it.
It's not necessarily a competition, but just having like that clicking that, you know, that's more what I'm talking about.
Well, it's being closer on the dartboard. And
that's like very specific thing, but like the dartboard, you know, being
life.
Hmm.
What were you going to say, though?
Moi?
No, Abe, he started talking and then he just stopped.
Oh, no, I just said, and then Fredo finished it off just for that specific thing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, as Fredo said, Dartboard isn't
locked. But, like, sex is never a competition. Public service announcement, sex is not a competition. Like,
except when it is and you win.
But, oh, man, it's so good when you win.
When you win, though.
You win. Is when you win when you make the girl that you're fucking into a dog, like, cry? Because I don't.
That's one win condition.
Yeah, you won like 8 times.
Yeah, I won a lot. You were very emotional. Anyway, so getting the latitude to do stuff I think is useful, and trying to get that and work on it and determine limits and say, okay, I'm okay with you doing stuff online. Okay, I'm okay with you doing real life stuff with this person. Okay, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. That requires so much communication, and that's a level of communication that's up from being able to talk about your fetishes. Because there's the fetish stuff is difficult to talk about. Long-term lifestyle relationship stuff is more difficult to talk about, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a whole other podcast, too, is poly.
Yeah.
But it does work. It's not like a bizarre lifestyle thing. It's like totally reasonable thing you can do and get what you need.
I think that it's definitely it enriches. And I think that if you look at it in a positive way and you really try and negate jealousy and do all these other things, like, it can be the most enriching.
Yeah.
Like, it's supplemental.
Okay, Abe, new idea for a story about a poly relationship full of dog TF, and you call it the dog pound.
Okay.
Just write
pound,
that down.
Pound puppies.
The dog pounding.
The dog pounding. This is a really hard thing for me to, like, talk about, and now my husband's making, like, super crass jokes about it.
Yeah, that's what I do.
With dad puns.
So many dad puns.
Lots of dad puns. So we've kind of covered why talking about it is important, how you find someone to talk to about it, how to talk to a partner about it, how to reconcile fetishes with a partner who isn't super into it. My husband's talked a little bit about coming into TF from the other side, which is cool. So do you guys want to talk about dialogue and scene building? The dialogue is Abe. Go.
Right. Yeah. So talking about dialogue, which I guess is me because I'm the writer.
You're the words guy.
Yeah, I'm wordsman, which you can tell by how good I'm wordsing right now.
He's a Mega Man villain named Wordsman.
He's really, really good at wordsing, but you just have to get him at the right moment. Yeah.
I'm a wordsmaster general. But, so, like, the thing that I was thinking that's really important about dialogue, especially when the first time that you're doing anything, and especially the first time you're doing anything in person, it can help so much to have the stuff written out first, so that you can read it, because the first time you do anything, it's going to sound super dumb. Like, you're going to be talking to a person, you're going to be like, yes, so it's like, I don't know, you've got, like, dog ears now. And having something that's
best orgasm
out,
ever.
having something that's written out can help so much in terms of, like, instead of just being like, I just lost. Like, having something that you can just follow through and just look back down at that until you get through that initial awkward part of, yeah, I guess we're doing this and this is really weird. Well, anyway, like, just being able to read out the stuff that you've got written down until you get through that, and then after a while you'll be in the point where it's like, oh, this is legitimately hot now, and now I'm saying things that, like, line up with what I want to be saying, as opposed to having to push through this awkward stuff, and it doesn't feel awkward anymore, it's all boners, and then you can just keep going from there. So, yeah, I really feel like having something written down initially can be a really big help to start off with.
Or at least having an outline.
Yeah, at least having an outline, because there's the two things. One is that it helps it stop being awkward. And two, when you're getting really into it, it can be easy to lose your place or just suddenly start being like, and, I was thinking about my erection there. I was not thinking about actually maintaining the story. So yeah. Having something that you can flick back to can definitely help with that. One of the other things that I wanted to say about dialogue is that dialogue is what's going to be driving the story. Obviously, like, you can do physical things, and honestly, I would suggest if you're writing something down, it's a really good idea to write down physical cues at certain points of, you know, at this point, you know, stroke head, or at this point, attach leash or something. But it's the dialogue that's setting and maintaining the story. So it helps to have it sort of set up in a way, but it's also that's where you're going to be trying things.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you're going to be doing stuff. And there are times when you can try things and they're not going to fly. Like, it can be sort of two ways of, you know, they can not like that, or you can try and do something and it just doesn't work as well. Like, you tell them to bark and then they just don't, or something, because they're not at that point yet, or something. And so part of the dialogue is building stuff like that in, but you have to be ready to pull that back if necessary, mm-hmm. because you can't just be like, shit, it says in the script that you're supposed to bark there and you didn't, so fuck.
Yeah, well, I mean, having some tolerance for things in a scene that don't go the way you want. So I think one of the things that we're really talking about, and I guess we need to brush on this a little bit for people who aren't as into, like, the BDSM scene and kind of kink culture or whatever, is that one of the things that we're advocating is that you do TF scenes or TF play. And a scene is basically you and another person enter, you know, a scenario, and it doesn't even necessarily have to involve sex. Like, for me, I prefer that it involves sex, but a lot of BDSM doesn't. And it's more the focused kind of play release aspect that people get in ways that don't involve orgasm. Mm.
To be fair, we prefer that breakfast involves sex.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, that's because you put it in a bowl, right? But anyway.
But I mean, the thing with that is the fact that it's a scene. Like, the really easy starter thing to do for that is take a story that you like wherever that comes from, and then walk someone else through that.
Yeah.
As, like, an initial starter, it's got a beginning, it's got a middle, it's got an end, it's got the bits that you like because it's a story that you've picked that you've liked.
Yeah.
And if it's something that you've written, great. If it's not something that's written that you've written, great. No one's going to come over and sue you for copyright infringement.
Yeah, Abe's not going to sue you if you, like, play fuck act out his stories. Like, don't necessarily tell him about it.
No.
Yeah. But yeah. Also, like, you know, it doesn't have to be my stories. There are other stories.
I know.
Out there.
I'm just teasing. But
stories are awesome.
They're so good.
Yeah, I just don't want people to feel like I'm saying, yeah, mine's the only shit out there. You have to use that. Like, there are other good writers out there. Like, you can use other people's stuff. But just having an existing story that you can work someone else through can definitely really help.
Yeah. And it helps you get over. I think what a lot of people have with dirty talk is that they feel stupid.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I've heard this over and over from people, is like, I can't do dirty talk, I just feel silly.
Mm,
like, right. But if you have an unrealizable fetish, dirty talk is a big part of what you need to do.
Mm.
So, like, and being able to reconcile, wow, this feels dumb, but my penis is the hardest.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important to be able to push through that. And having something written down makes it so much easier to not just trail off. Even if you feel super dumb, you can just keep reading until the dumbness fades and the hotness amps up and drowns everything else out.
Yeah, and sometimes writing is also a really good way to hone what are the best things to say. Like, the things that I do that are recordings, like I've done a couple for Fuego, I write them before I record them, and when I record them, I'm basically reading a script, because it would, like, as much as I can extemporize things that I know Fuego will think is hot, when I write stuff down, I can cut stuff and make sure everything is perfectly laser-targeted to be super boners.
Yeah, exactly. You can polish that.
Yeah, you can polish that shit. Thank you.
Polish those boners, guys.
Polish those boners.
Sorry, were you saying something, Fuego?
Yes, but I have forgotten what it was.
Excellent.
That's polish okay. Your... Puppies aren't good at remembering.
Other than that, like, what other dialogue stuff can people think of that is sort of relevant to talk about here? I mean,
well, how do you make the leap between, okay, you have stuff written down or a script that you know works with someone, and then coming up with new material that you know will destroy them?
Oh, that's perfect. I do remember what I was going to say. Okay, so the first time that I play with somebody new, we are negotiating, and this is another BDSM term, which is the conversation you have before you have a scene with someone so that you're both on the same page as to what is going to go down and what people like, etc. The first thing that I ask people that I'm new to playing with is, when you are by yourself and you're jerking off and you want to get off right now, what is the go-to fantasy that runs through your head? And I want you to tell me it in the words that you tell it to yourself.
That's perfect.
Yeah. That sums it up.
That's such a good way to get people to articulate their, like, maximum thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think every TF person has a script, right? Mm-hmm. It's the one that you play in your head when someone else is fucking you when you're by yourself. I want to know what that script is, and then I want to know why it's hot.
Yeah.
Wait, does everyone else have one thing like that? Because I have, like, a lot of different – I don't have one specific thing. I have, like, a bunch of potential different things, and nothing's really, really fixed.
Yeah, but you have a bunch of things that revolve around the same checkpoints.
Yeah, that's fair.
The checkpoints are your script.
Yeah, okay.
I think everybody has a revolving set because they become boring otherwise, but right now you have, like, one that you've used the last three times, right?
Oh, I see, yeah.
Most recently. Tell me which one you used most recently that you're really feeling right now. Because for a while for me, I was super into the cow thing, super into the disification thing. And if you asked me what my thing was then, I would have told you something different than right now after somebody else had just destroyed me. Dog.
Yeah, you know, you're always in flux. So
yeah, and everybody is.
But there was elements of the way that I worked a lot of the dialogue with you because I wrote none of it down. I had to extemporize dialogue. Is that a word, extemporize?
That is extemporize, yeah, that's
okay.
The word.
Yeah, thank you. SAT verbal 750. So I had to extemporize dialogue over the course of 2.5 days, and there were definitely times when I had to guess about what was the next big, like, thing, the next pussy-destroying set of words that I could use. Because if I would have just said, as fun as it is to say, you know, good puppy, good puppy, good puppy all weekend, like, and it's pretty good. Like, there's other things that you can say, and I had to, there were definitely points where I had to make a leap of faith, and there was at least one point where I made a leap to something I didn't know if it would be great. And it was, because I had a good idea. Huh?
What point was that?
It was when we did the muzzle growth scene.
Oh, yeah. You leaped right onto my clitoris.
But the thing is, like, the darker that you go with your dialogue, I feel like the more apt it is to be self-conscious about it, because you can easily say something that makes someone really upset.
So here's another thing about dialogue, is that it's just like beating someone, in that you can't go all out at the beginning. You warm them up, and you get darker and darker and deeper the farther you go into your dialogue, because I know for me, stuff that is hot when I am right about to get off is a lot darker than stuff that when I'm not close.
And that was definitely how I tried to work it, because I knew I would have more latitude to go deeper.
Yeah.
As you were going, there's a term in BDSM which is going under, like going to like subspace, and like as someone goes under, they're more susceptible to that stuff. Mm.
And if you're not okay with thinking of it as darker, like, it can easily just be more intense. Like, it might not necessarily be meaner, but it could be a lot more sort of, like, visceral when it gets to that point.
Yeah.
That's a good point, because not everyone – I mean, there's a lot of people who don't like mean stuff at all, and that totally makes sense. Like, I don't super like a lot of really dark stuff except in the aspect of, like – some physical roughness, and then a combination of, like, this is really weird because I hate slut-shaming in real life, but I really like slut-shamey dialogue. But it has to be, like...
Fetishes.
Yeah, problematic fetishes. But it has to be, like, the 4 or 5 words that I have approved.
Mm. Oh, this is another really good point, because, like I said, I talked about people who may not have a good idea in their head, but then there's people like me who have such a specific idea of, like, what is hot that you have to, like, here is the list bulleted out for your convenience of what exactly is hot.
Yeah. I like when people tell people other people's lists. That's my favorite.
Yeah, then they can spring it on you without you having
In my gross poly heart, that's my favorite thing, is running through, like, getting, say I have my partner and then we're playing with someone else and showing that other person, here are all the things that my partner likes and this is how you wreck him. So we've talked about dialogue. Do you want to talk about scene building at all? I guess I can talk about this because I don't know how much you've done, like, IRL with it.
Well, what are you meaning by when you say scene building?
Like, creating a space and then, like, being able to actualize, like, within that space and then being able to wrap up and be done.
That's super hard. It is really hard.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you sort of go for what you're meaning with that? Because, yeah, I feel like you might be able to do that a bit more.
Yeah. Okay, so I had super mega performance anxiety before Fuego came here. Because I talked to Abe about it a lot, and he was like, no, you're going to do fine. Like, you're super into the things that, you know, get her off really hard and whatever. But I was really nervous about how well I was going to be able to top for 2.5 days. Like, I think it was the time aspect that I was the most nervous about. And when it came time for us to actually do stuff, what I ended up doing is I put a blanket on the floor, and, like, I decided, like, this is the space where everything happens. And, like, in this space, like, I can accept that X, Y, and Z are the rules. And the rules were basically, I am the master, she is someone that I am turning into a puppy, and she has to obey everything I say within reason. So, but that was, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And that it works really well to have, like, a defined area that you can, like, for them and for yourself to be able to go, like, outside of this, I don't need to be that person anymore.
Yeah.
There were a lot. So you can relax.
Yeah, like, I have been a pet for other people before in ways that were not nearly as good. And part of that, part of what made this weekend so good is that confinement of the space. Mm-hmm. Because neither of us had this expectation that we both had to be on the whole time.
Yeah. And that's fucking exhausting.
It is super exhausting. But we both managed to play it so that we were on exactly as much as both of us wanted to be on.
Yeah.
And it felt like we were on the whole time, even though we definitely weren't.
Yeah. And there were definitely, like, breaks, and we interspersed it with, like, a lot of, like, petting and lighter stuff.
And guess what, people? Guess what? Spoiler alert. You can make a scene and TF yourself all by yourself, which is really cool. And, you know, like, there's a certain amount of stuff you can do in order to have that feeling. Yeah. Like I said, you could use gear. You could use just other, like,
you
things.
You could use duct tape.
You could use whatever in order to help you feel like you're turning into something else. And
duct tape is the most rudimentary cow hooves.
Yeah. And you can do it completely by yourself, alone, in your room, in your house, whatever. Nobody ever needs to know unless you feel like you need to tell people, you know? I'm not saying you need to be ashamed of it, but I'm saying it could be a private thing if you want it to be a private thing.
Yeah, for sure. And, yeah, there's definitely stuff. And one of the cool things about TF is that the kind of stuff you're going to be doing by yourself is way less risky than, like, solo bondage, which is can be super risky.
Which can be problematic,
also,
you know?
Can be
not ever do solo bondage. Do not ever do solo bondage.
Yeah, don't.
Do not ever do solo breath play.
Don't do solo breath play.
No.
Or encasement or any of that stuff. Make sure you have, like, a spotter. You know, you wouldn't lift weights that are too heavy without a spotter. You shouldn't do that stuff without a spotter.
Solo pretend to become a cat, super safe.
Much safer.
Yeah,
much
solo, safe. Solo pretend to become a cat is very safe, except for all of your upholstery.
You lick the paw, you know, you scratch some stuff, and it's good, you know?
You lick the paw, you paw the face, you lick the paw.
So, Toba, do you have anything, like, on scene building or dialogue or anything that...
I think you guys really touched on a lot of it that I would have said too. You know, like you said, you can't be on, like, completely on all the time doing, like, a full weekend scene. I don't even know if you can call it a scene at that point. I mean, I've done this stuff, you know, before for, like, a full weekend, and, you know, you you have to have the, you know, the milder parts and the more intense parts. And I think each one makes you appreciate the other part, too. You know, you have your, well, I don't know, I don't want to get into, like, super details, but,
no,
like,
I think it's cool. One of the things we had talked about is, like, the cuddling after.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, petting, even just, like, little whispers in the ear. And, you know, these are things that you can bring outside of the house, too, you know. Having, you know, like, tokens of ownership.
Yeah.
You know, it can be a necklace. It can be a bracelet. You know, there's number of really super subtle things that you can do, and I've done plenty of that. It just, you know, I don't know, you, when you do things like that, it helps keep it helps the person maintain that level of, yeah, I am still this thing, I'm still not quite a real person, or not a real person, but not quite a person.
It keeps them under that, like, tiny little...
Yeah, but you can still function. It's really, really awesome.
Yeah, and definitely, like, being able to integrate fantasy stuff with, like, still being able to do your life is really important, especially if you are doing a longer scene, or, like, if you're integrating stuff over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and being able to drop the dom sub act and interact like normal human beings, and mm-hmm. then pick it back up when you need it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because every time I've, like, brought up the whole can we do this for a weekend thing with partners, they've always been at least a little bit apprehensive, you know, because they think they have to be full on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And once we get into, well, obviously I talk to them about it first, but once we get into it, they realize it's not like that, you know, and it's still really awesome. So
I think the worst thing that can happen in a longer scene is that one or both of the people are doing something that is supposed to be hot and in their head is really hot, but at the time they're burnt out a little bit and they don't think it's hot. Like, when we started playing with the tennis ball,
yeah.
I was like, this is not going to be hot because I've done this before, and chasing a tennis ball isn't hot. It's like that sort of pet play degradation thing, like I'm supposed to be humiliated by it, but really I'm just waiting for you to fuck me again.
Yeah.
But we had ridden that wave up and down so many times that I was already getting hot, and then the way that you implemented it was really cognizant of that sort of problem.
Yeah.
So that it was very hot. But if you had not been spot on when to use it, it would not have been hot.
Yeah.
Right? It was later so that we were fairly deep in the scene so you could do something more intense, and you integrated it into sex play very well.
Yeah.
But it easily, I mean, it was a super A-tier difficult move to get right, you know?
Well, I'm glad it worked.
And yeah, see, there you go. You were worried you weren't going to be able to do it right, and you stuck the landing.
I super stuck the landing.
You're and a Romanian tennis ball thrower Olympian. It was amazing.
I think it's cool, too, because, like, maybe there's also, you know, you can also have scenes in pub, because TF is one of those things where you can kind of do it, like, kind of in that way that isn't always sexual, like, especially because there are people out there where it maybe is just very interesting and not necessarily, I don't know who you are, a sex-related thing. But, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's little things that you can, you know, being in the furry community, like, there's that idea of you could fursuit and kind of feel like you're in that headspace.
Yeah.
And be in that for a little bit, and, you know, it's a completely vanilla, or G-rated, rather, way of kind of having that scene where you could be in that character and feel like, now I have claws, now I have a tail, now I have this.
Yeah.
Cosplay is kind of another way of doing that, where you can kind of cosplay or cross-dressing.
Well, anything
or,
that alters your headspace,
exactly.
Even that little bit, can be an aspect of it. And we're going to talk about, I guess, the stuff we're going to talk about next episode is ways to physically manifest your altered headspace. So, that I think that'll be good. Have we talked about, like, okay, write this stuff, okay, say this stuff, but we haven't talked about what the stuff is at all. Like,
the stuff.
Like, you know what I'm talking about, like, what the script is. Like, for me, the script is somebody telling me, like, over a period of time, like, well, the base for a lot of TF people is somebody telling you how you're changing and then interacting with you in a way that confirms those changes mentally.
Or how you're changing or how the other person is changing you.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like getting topped and having the top tell you how you're changing.
I was just going to say you could approach it like two different ways. Either from that aspect of like, here's what I want to do to you, or here's what I want to see, or this is what I'd like done to me.
Yeah, I guess. The hottest for me, though, is, like, the top telling me, okay, this is happening. And it's hotter for them to say to me, like, I am doing this to you.
Mm.
But that's, you know, whatever.
And I feel like one of the things in that is that it's so helpful to be able to have the big overarching thing that is, you know, the impossible fantasy of here is how you are changing into this thing. And then you intersperse it with little additional sort of helpful things that are sort of possible or sort of directly reinforceable.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the sense of like, if you're physically there and you're talking about like, oh, now your ears are changing, or, you know, look at how you love being scratched in the ear, and then you actually scratch them behind the ear, that can really help actually push things by just giving that a little sort of slight reinforcement of this is actually a physical thing. This is real. It makes it so much easier for the rest of it to seem real.
Integrating actions and dialogue and creating triggers.
Here is a couple of ways that I've more intensely done this in scenes previously. So changing somebody where their fur is growing and using something like Icy Hot.
Yeah.
Or capsaicin to create a sensation.
Yeah.
At one point, I injected saline into somebody as a...
to simulate an injection.
Yeah. So intramuscular saline is super safe to do. It's like, you know, you're giving a pet fluids. It's anybody can do it who isn't a freaking moron. Don't kill your partner because I told you to do this. In fact, don't do this. Just know that it's hot if somebody who is a registered nurse and or veterinary technician does it to you. where you intramuscularly inject saline, it actually is really sore. So it's like continuously reinforcing that you've got that shot. It stings when it's going in just a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but there's a lot of stuff like that that you can do. And you know, you talked about duct tape earlier, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Immobilizing people's hands.
To simulate like your dumb animal paws.
Yeah. Duct tape is great for that too, by the way, because it only sticks to itself and you can just cut it off really easily with safety scissors. So.
Yeah.
Another thing we use is vet wrap. Which
that's what I just said.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
Vet tape, yeah.
Oh, vet tape, okay.
It's the stuff they put on horses.
Yeah, like, but just, again, just if you're doing it by yourself or with somebody else, just remember to be safe.
Be safe, especially when you're constricting stuff. I mean, I have...
Yeah, you can constrict your hands, fine. Like, don't constrict
your
neck.
Don't put stuff on too tight, you know.
Even your hands, like, honestly, I have these... I have a pair of latex gloves that I put paw pads on that are my favorite, and they are Sin's hands. And I can only wear them for, like, maximum 2 hours, and then my hands start to get really hurty and tingly, and there could be a point where I would be like, well, I don't want to be done with this, but I need to be done with this.
So here's the rule for any type of bondage. If it hurts, stop.
Stop. Yeah.
If it's tingly, it's not so bad. If it's numb, it's not so bad. If it hurts, stop. That's the dead rule. And that's pretty much the only rule.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't take it off if it's tingly, but I'm saying if it hurts, you must take it off.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just really nervous about, like, any kind of nerve damage in my hands.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's so many things you could do without gear or stuff like that. Whereas, like, if you're going to turn into a werewolf, you know, all you have to do is growl and snarl and just be in that headspace. Sometimes it's just about the headspace.
One of the things we used to do that didn't involve, that was, like, very do-it-yourself is ripping clothes off. Like, so many people are super into rippage.
Save your old tank tops.
Save your old tank tops with holes in them. And it's very easy to perforate stuff, too, so that it'll rip really easily. Because, like, I have a lot of things about, like, monster dudes. And, like, having a monster dude rip your clothes off, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's a top tip of news you can use while being fucked.
Thanks, Abe, for being the most crass.
I think you need to do like a little 2-minute segment where it's just the news you use while being fucked.
I think we just did a 2-hour segment.
We really did a 2-hour segment. And there's so many different tips, and problem solving is a big thing. Like, one of the things Fuego was talking to me about when she was here is she was saying, I think it would be really hot if I no longer understand language. Like, I think it would be really hot to lose my ability to comprehend people speaking to me because it would more accurately simulate becoming a dog.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? Like, I don't know. And so we brainstormed, like, well, can you have people switch to ASL? Can you have them switch to a language you don't understand? Can you use headphones? Can you this? Can you that? And that kind of problem solving is really
sometimes
fun.
Sometimes that's the best part.
Yeah. And eventually you come up with a solution, like using electrical tape for cow hooves, that is just enough to be hot.
It's really about making the headspace. It's not about having hooves. It's about getting the headspace. So you only need to do as much as you need to do to get that headspace.
Yeah,
you do as much as it takes to get you to the point of being like, oh, this is actually happening in my head right now while I'm surfing on this wave of boners.
Yeah.
That's what you need to get to.
That
you don't need to get to the point
feeling.
Where you could actually you don't need to get to the point where you could actually like make a Hollywood movie and have people go, yeah, that's a realistic special effect.
You just have to believe you're a horny catgirl slut in your heart. And then your pussy believes it.
Boners.
Yeah. But getting into this kind of subspace where the dialogue someone's giving you or the script or the actions that they're doing becomes your reality, that's what we're all chasing.
Yeah,
and that's what we're going to talk about next time.
Yeah.
How you can do it. More in-depth, fun ways to do that.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Fuego?
I said every time we're going to talk about that. But we're also, like, we're edging onto hypnosis at this point, too. And I think a lot of that getting headspace and hypnosis are super close together. So.
Yeah.
Well, we should totally talk about that more.
Like,
I know so many people who are into that.
Yeah, and like not even hypnosis, but like we've developed like trigger words and like conditioning, maybe even the classical kind.
Yeah.
And like all kinds,
available now on
all kinds of stuff that is way hotter than I ever realized it would be.
It's operant conditioning. It's not classical. We're not linking two antecedents together. So
I don't know what the fuck any of it is. All I know is it's super hot.
Whatever. Boners, boners, boners.
Boners, 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 boners. How about I say this and you come? That's hot. Anyway.
Yeah, I think that pretty much sums up the argument there.
Yeah.
Actually, anyway. the tennis ball is classic conditioning.
The tennis ball is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the scent makes me super wet now.
Yeah.
So that's classical conditioning.
Whatever. I still have two of those tennis balls here, but I let you take one home. And disappointment dog.
Can you do me a favor?
What?
Can you put those tennis balls in a plastic bag so they maintain that tennis ball smell?
I can do that. Plus, I could always buy new tennis balls that are identical to those tennis balls.
They're precious to me now.
I can't figure out a way to send you the scent over the internet, though.
You can just make me go upstairs and get my tennis ball.
Well, we've done that. But anyway.
Anyway, before this podcast descends into just people fucking each
just
other.
Just a giant orgy.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I never meant this to be as much of a circle jerk as it was. But it's circle jerkiness is inherent. But anyway, we are running really over, so I think we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah. So that's one of the podcasts, everyone. Like we said, there'll be a second episode of this episode, second part, where we'll talk about some of the stuff like body modification, tattoos, piercing, and also gear and prosthetics and makeup. So that's using basically everyone's expertise except me, who got to get my stuff out of the way in the first one. So, so we'll get this out and...
Yeah, we'll get it out soon. And then my plan, my tentative plan after we're done is to do a Q&A episode for the third episode. So if there's stuff in this episode that you thought about and you have a question regarding it, please, like, write it down somewhere or think about it, because we're going to solicit for questions after the second episode. But you can hit us all up on Twitter. We gave our Twitters last episode, but Tober, do you want to give your Twitter?
Sure. My my Twitter is Tober is weird. So Tober underscore is underscore weird.
Yeah, and it whacked me out when you changed it.
It's private, but if you want to add me, I totally like let anybody in that is interested. And I follow back. Anyone that follows me, I follow them back. That's kind of how I operate. So.
That's cool. And okay. I mean,
did I mine last time?
You gave yours.
Okay.
But we do urge people, the same as I urged people last time, please be respectful. If you're contacting people to talk to about this, whether it's us or not other people, like, the number one thing is to be respectful when you reach out to other people, and understanding that people have a limited amount of time and they're not, you know,
don't jerks. Don't lead in with, hey, I TF you into sexy cat bitch.
Yeah.
Don't
do that. But we'll get
to that later. Don't do that introduction, you know.
In terms of, like, talking to people about stuff, like, there's us, but there's also so many other people around that you can talk to. Like, I know there's a lot of people that do a bunch of live streams, which, honestly, I forgot this before, but that was one of the first places that I started talking to Aang, was she did a couple of live streams, and that was a really good situation of, you know, people are around, and, you know, it's a whole bunch of people talking about this art. I know, you know, Watch the Artist does a bunch of live streams. I'm pretty sure an artist named Libra does a bunch of TF live streams. Badger does some TF live streams at some point, but they're all, you know, there's a bunch of artists that do various things that it's handy to just sort of get in there and with a bunch of people talk about, and then you can find interesting people that you get on well with.
Yeah, and you might get on well with.
Get
on well with.
Yeah.
I totally botched that joke. Anyway, now that I have destroyed everything, I think that it's time for us to sign off. So it's been great talking to you guys, and we'll see you in episode 2. But for now, I'm Anger Voda.
That was Fuego. I'm ABC.
I'm Tyrion.
I'm Tober.
All right. And everyone, keep fucking them snake babes.
Amazing. Amazing. Have a good night.